This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good one out of the chute today. How's everybody doing on this Wednesday around the country? Tiki and Tierney coming to you from our studios. It's the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Challenging times, as we well know. Rocket Mortgage, prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, we've got a good topic out of the chute, courtesy of Paul Pierce, who was either, you know, just delivering a hot takes because he's bored, or he's a little too deep into the quarantine and he's kind of losing his basketball sensibility, or maybe somewhere in between. Paul Pierce with a scolding take. We got to play this right away. This is about LeBron, and, you know, one of the great things of that's really come out of The Last Dance here. So many conversations that, you know, whether it was the Isaiah angle, whether it was Phil Jackson and what he let Dennis Rodman do, and the competitive nature of Michael Jordan. It's been a great flashback. And as we flash back, it's also easy to look to the current and tie in, you know, what Jordan was compared to what LeBron is or has been thus far. And Paul Pierce, as much as he respects LeBron, he put him in a stratosphere that I have heard nobody put him really for a couple of years now outside of the top five. Check out what Paul Pierce was dishing.
Kareem, Magic, Jordan, Tim Duncan, Kobe, Bird. These guys are all top 10 players who would either help build up their organization or continue the tradition from LeBron. He went and put together a team in Miami. He came back to Cleveland to put that team together.
That's the way
to top five. You want to hear my top five? You want to hear it again? Jordan,
let me know.
Kareem, Russell, Magic, Kobe Bryant.
Come on,
that's my top five. Right. Argue with it.
There was a argue with it. A lot of eyeball rolling on that set. Jay Williams was on there along with Jalen Rose. Now listen, first of all, before we actually debate whether or not he's right, he's wrong factually on a few things. Like what he uses to propel, whether it's a Russell or, and you heard the names, Magic, Bird, Duncan, Kobe. He's not necessarily right in all those instances where those players went into a downtrodden, you know, moribund situation and immediately elevated or eventually elevated. Some of those situations were actually quite good, which we can chronicle in a moment. I don't know. First of all, I don't agree with his premise, top five, and I really don't like what he's leaning on. I feel like it's kind of hollow.
Well, I think maybe, as you kind of alluded to, BT, he's stuck in quarantine for too long. He's, like, making up stuff in his mind to fit an argument that he wanted to have with himself. How can I make LeBron not be in the top five? Okay, let me say, okay, this reason, that one doesn't really work. This reason, that one is really... Oh, how about this one? He didn't build up a franchise. Well, if I remember correctly, BT, LeBron James, when he came to the Cleveland Cavaliers, they were terrible. Terrible. And he got them to the NBA, the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they even went to the NBA Finals before he left. Ultimately, he wanted to go win a championship, and I get it. He pissed off a lot of people, and it was a bad look, even though he did raise money. We always say this. He raised money for the Boys and Girls Club and goes down to Miami and wins a couple championships. But then he comes back. And by the way, the franchise didn't, like, start accelerating when he left, and he jumped back into this already made, ready for a championship team. He had to rebuild it. And he said, look, it's going to take some years. He did it in a couple years, and in improbable fashion, too, by the way, against the dynastic Golden State Warriors. So his argument is wrong, first of all. And then, two, when you throw in the guys that he's mentioning, right, I love Tim Duncan. But he's just not exciting to me. The 14-foot bank shot, even though he did some great things, it's not exciting to me. Mm-hmm. Kobe, I love Kobe as well. But again, I think LeBron is better. We've had this conversation so many times that it's almost offensive to put LeBron out of the top three, much less the top five. Uh-huh. So I think he might just be doing this for argument's sake, kind of trying to make himself, on something.
If you were reaching for relevant, he is relevant because he's part,
he's always been relevant. Well, he always will be relevant. You know what I mean? Because he's Paul Pierce. Like, he's like a gangster, right? Basketball player.
No, he's real as it gets. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. I mean, Paul Pierce was stabbed 9 times in a club back in the day, and he walked away. I mean, Paul Pierce is a real one. The fact that, Paul Pierce took this position, I give him a lot of credit for putting his name on this, because Paul Pierce, now he's not in the Hall of Fame yet. He's up for 2021. He's going to get in.
Yeah.
And he's 10-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA. He's an NBA Finals MVP. He's a champion. You've got to weigh his words with a couple of things here. Number one, they had a real rivalry with LeBron. Those Celtics teams with KG and Ray Allen, I mean, that was kind of fierce for a couple of years there, number one. And they were guarding each other a lot. Yep. And Paul Pierce was, quite frankly, probably elevated a bit by LeBron, perceptually. But for an eventual Hall of Famer to take this bold position, while I don't agree with it, it is really interesting. And you got to look at this, too. And Teak and I were talking before the show. Now, again, LeBron, whether it's MJ1, and that's where I have him. I guess I've got LeBron, too, though I could go Kareem. And depending upon the day and the tone of the conversation, I usually do go Kareem. But, even I, who's been a bit of a LeBron detractor, the self-glorification, really the only thing, just, I don't know, this bothers me. I say that, I don't need to get into that. Where I stand on that. But LeBron James, when it's all said and done, is going to make a run at Kareem's all-time scoring mark if he stays healthy. He's going to be top five in assists, with all point guards, by the way. Mm-hmm. Mark Jackson, John Stockton, Steve Nash, Magic Johnson, of course. Should have said Magic first. He's going to be top, 8, 10, 11 in rebounds. How the hell is LeBron not a top five player?
He is a top five player. I mean, and when you look at the other guys, and you brought up something interesting when we were talking earlier about Tim Duncan's impact on the San Antonio Spurs, which I don't think a lot of people realized, because you know he's a champion. You know he's multiple champion. You know that he is as classy as a player on and off the court as there was, but he was like boring. So you didn't gravitate to his game and his impact, even though the impact is profound, right? They went 26 games the year before he came, and then 2 years later they're a champion. Yep. And so much of that is on him. And obviously the team was well constructed, and they had great coach and Pop,
and a great leader in David Robinson to help Tim Duncan transition. Right.
It's not like they were bereft of talent or
Sean Elliott
or direction. Exactly, they were good players on that squad. But clearly he was the. He was the catalyst. He was the one that flipped the switch for them, proverbially.
No doubt.
When you think about him, is there an argument? Yeah, there is. But when you throw in everything else that you were just talking about, there's no way he compares to LeBron. So I get it, but you can't put him above LeBron James.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Again, leaning on Paul Pierce's initial point was, he's not a top five player, LeBron, and here's my reasons as to why. My primary reason is that he didn't elevate. Okay. So.
Or sustain a dynasty is what he.
Or sustain a dynasty.
Because that's why he put Larry Bird in there with the Celtics, obviously.
Yeah, but the Celtics, that's a good one. Because when the year before Larry got there, they were 29-53.
Mm-hmm.
29-53. The year with Bird, they go 61-21. All right. So there's this 30-game spike, a little more than 30 games. Now, the Lakers were a little different. The Lakers were highly competitive before Magic got there. Lakers were 40, obviously, same year as Bird, 47 and 35. And they lost in the Western Conference semis. And then, obviously, we know Magic jump in center. Kareem's got the migraines, and they win the championships. They go 60-22. So you go from 47 wins, which is still very solid, to 60 wins at the championship. Okay. Even Bill Russell, and I had to look this one up. I wasn't obviously sure.
Yeah, that's 39.
What's that, T?
That's pre-us.
Yeah, that is way pre-us. Yeah, 39-33, they were before Bill Russell got there. And then Russell came on board. That would have been the 1956-57 season. And they won the title, and they won, I think, 44 games in the regular season. So it really depends. Like Jordan, the Bulls were before he got there. First couple of years, relatively middling. He got hurt his second year. Remember, that was in the documentary. He came back. He played the final 8 games, whatever it was. Got to the playoffs there. Kobe, they were 53-29 without Kobe. And then the next year, they were 56. Remember, Eddie Jones was a good player for those Lakers teams. So I respect Paul Pierce's opinion. Paul Pierce was a beast. I mean, I remember having a conversation locally. They were playing the Knicks. This is years ago. And I remember – and he was only about 7 years in his career. I'm like, this guy is a Hall of Famer. And a lot of people disagreed. So – for Paul Pierce to come out and say this, I really do respect because he backed it up. He had a strong opinion, which is counter to 99% of what basketball enthusiasts believe. But it's a pretty strong take. It really is.
It is a strong
take. By a future Hall of Famer.
I just think he's wrong, and I think most people would agree that he's wrong. LeBron is in the top 10. I mean, top 5, and he's probably in the top 3 for most people's estimation. Yep. And honestly, the reasonings – and again, what does this list mean? What does it even – where does it even come from, and what are you judging it on? If it's on championships, then, yeah, you could push LeBron out of the top 5 potentially. But is it on impact – for the organization he's currently with, that's Cleveland, and it's obviously Miami because they won championships with him. It's back.
And they
to
also
Cleveland.
Won without him,
exactly. But still, they won a couple with him, right? It was impactful when he was there. There was never a place that he went where he was just just part of the machine.
They were always the team to beat
every single year. And now, yes, he got hurt last year with the Lakers, but he comes back this year. He's leading the league in assists with 10.5 or so. They're the best team in the West, even though everybody thought the Clippers would be that way, be that team. And they're the favorites to win the NBA Finals if the NBA season should resume this year. The impact is so profound everywhere that he goes. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible by that metric. And that's really all that matters. Are you winning? Are you putting your team in position to be relevant to it for a championship? The answer has always been yes. And the reason we all know that he left Cleveland the first time is because the organization wasn't put enough around him to make that possible. Mm-hmm. So, look, I know where Paul Pierce is coming from, and I could even buy his argument, but I'm not sleeping with that argument. That's not the one that I'm going to bed with.
No, we're definitely not going to align ourselves with that. But I respect a strong, bold take, and you put your name on it, but fundamentally, it's flawed. It's an empty argument based on the numbers that I just gave everybody. I mean, if his core denominator, his common principle was the ability to elevate, it's a very mixed bag. I mean, a lot of these players that I just mentioned, with the exception of Bird and Duncan, went into pretty decent. Some were really good situations, and some were pretty good. Yeah. You know what I think happened? And Disa, I want you to play this again. Here's what I think happened. And this has happened to all of us on occasion. Although I don't think it should happen with something quite this big. Like, this should be top of mind. Whether or not LeBron's a top 5 player of all time should never catch you off guard.
Yeah.
If you're a future NBA player and you're part of an NBA pregame and postgame show.
That's right.
As Paul Pierce says. But what I think happened, and D-Cell, get ready to play this. I'm wondering is if he started to take a few steps down this direction and kind of got caught in a situation where he was just trying to pull things and didn't really believe what he was saying, which is not Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce tells you what he means and means what he says. But I want to play this again, and I want to listen. Like I almost think he got caught up thinking and speaking, and it happens to all of us at the same time. Go ahead, D-Cell. Play that once
Kareem,
again.
Kareem, Magic, Jordan, Tim Duncan, Kobe, Bird. These guys are all top 10 players who either help build up their organization or continue the tradition from LeBron. He went and put together a team in Miami. He came back to Cleveland to put that team together.
That's the way.
You want to hear my top five? You want to hear it again? Jordan.
Sure, let me know.
Kareem, Russell, Magic, Kobe Bryant.
Come on.
That's my top five. Argue with
Sounds like Ice Cube. Kareem. Like he's getting after it a little bit there. No, now that I heard it again, I actually believe he kind of thinks that.
Yeah, I think he does as well.
Right?
I mean, he's solid, even though the arguable one is Magic, because I mean, Magic is great. He's an all-timer. We know Magic's legacy in the NBA and beyond the NBA. But LeBron and Magic, I mean, it's a different game that they play. It's a different impact. And in fact, I think what we're starting to see is that when LeBron puts his mind to it, he can actually be a lot like Magic Johnson.
Yes.
And lead that way and facilitate that way. So at the very least, you're replacing LeBron or Magic Johnson and Paul Pierce's top five with LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is the perfect barometer, but LeBron can replicate what Magic did. Magic cannot replicate what LeBron does.
That's right.
He can't.
That's right. In his prime, Magic Johnson could not have been LeBron James.
I don't think so. I definitely don't think so.
But now in his twilight, in a sense, right, LeBron James is on par with Magic Johnson.
Well, you know, the flash is a little less. Not that that's the ultimate barometer.
Yeah.
But even from day one, you know, LeBron always made teammates better. I'm not saying he made them as good as Magic made. But then again, you know, when you walk in, and this is not to marginalize Magic. He's one of the best of all time, obviously. But when you walk into a situation where very early in your career, Pat Riley's your coach, mm-hmm. goes down as one of the all-time greats.
That's right.
And you got, you know, James Worthy flashing on the wing from the small forward. You dump it down to the big fella inside for the hook shot, 7-2, the all-time leading scorer. You know, you've got Byron Scott, who's a young buck who comes up and plays D and cranks it on the break and throws it down on people. You've got, you know, Norm Nixon early on, who was a really good defensive. I mean, you know, these are names that LeBron didn't have. These are talents LeBron didn't have. LeBron
right.
had Zydrunas Ilgauskas with a bad foot. That's what he had. Anderson Varejão. I mean, you know.
He's in the rafters, though. They love Anderson Varejão.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's a perplexing take by Paul Pierce, but it's interesting to kick around. 1-855-212-4227. You know, I do want to throw this out to our NBA fans out there. And let me get some calls coming up next here. And also get to Horace Grant. We have to weave him into the first hour of the show, which we will. The thought, the premise, whether it's from Paul Pierce or somebody else, do you agree with the notion that to be considered among the top, you know, 3, 4, 5 of all time, that there's got to be an element of building, of elevation from the outset where – you know, you thrust into a pretty bad situation, and quite quickly, it's built up. Maybe not to the penthouse right away, but you know, it's certainly functional living. I'm curious if people. I've never really thought of it that way at all, mm-hmm. at all, until Paul Pierce said that. I wonder if people incorporate that as they comprise their best of list. It's something to kick around. We'll get some calls, 855-212-4227. Get inbounds, out of bounds this hour. We'll get to the Horace Grant stuff. Paul Tagliabue, hour number two. And Tom Glavin with some high heat, even though he's more of a finesse guy. Glavin throwing the lefty cheese under the chins of today's players, saying, you know what? You better get your act together because it won't be the owners who are lambasted. It will be you, the players. So we've got a lot to do. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Really good show for you here on a Wednesday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge, and if your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Or when you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just
CBS
a few
Sports
clicks
Radio's
away.
Toll-free line
they
on
offer
this
convenient
Wednesday
options for you to get your parts
country.
Quickly.
Order online at O'ReillyAutoParts.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices.
We got a little something to talk about here. And Pierce might have a little splaining to do. 855-212-4CBS. We'll squeeze in the Horace Grant stuff as well. He was dishing on MJ as well. And right now, though, we'll get some calls. Teague, see what people think about the – well, there's two prongs here. Number one, do you agree with Paul Pierce? I mean, is anybody who actually thinks LeBron is not inside the top five? And by the way, probably a little more popular view then we position it. Like, we assume, I mean, you might, I mean, people still throw Wilt in there and Bill Russell. And well, if you do that, you might get squeezed.
Well, it's easy to throw them in there if you lived in that era or you grew up idolizing that era. The problem is we didn't, right? And we know about it because we know the history of sport, but I never saw Wilt play. I mean, the legendary 100-point game sounds fantastic, but there's no footage of it. You know, I can't even, like, look at it in retrospect.
Yeah.
So it's just unless you lived it, it's kind of hard to feel it. And I think right now, when we watch LeBron James do what he does or we watch KD do what he does, it's like you feel it, man. Like, that emotion stays with you when they have these amazing moments in their career, and it's real time for us.
You know what's, what's amazing, too? I was watching just for a 20-second aside here. MSG does this thing where they do garden debuts. I guess they do it for the Rangers, too, right?
Yep.
And last night – or no, we had recorded it. And
yep. Was this Carmelo?
No, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
It was even though I was at the game, it was Mark Jackson's garden debut in 87 coming out of St. John's when he was the first-round pick.
Okay.
And when he won the Rookie of the Year. And they're playing the Celtics. Larry Bird was horrendous. At one point, I didn't watch the whole thing, but at one point, Larry Bird was like 4-for-17.
Wow.
And like, if that's the only game that you watched of Larry Bird, because there's like five other white guys on that team. Jerry Schiesting, Brad Lohouse was on that team. You're like, is there any real difference between Jerry Schiesting and Rick Carlisle and Brad Lohouse? And Larry Bird was bad. Obviously an anomaly, but I thought it was funny because we talk about Bird so much. All right. Let's get Joey in Florida. Joey's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Joe?
Hey, Tiki and Tierney. How y'all doing, man?
Hey, Joe.
Doing all right, man.
Hey, a couple points. You guys threw a lot at me, so I'm trying to remember how to drive. I think his reasoning was off.
Joe, we got Joe, I hate to – Joe, D-Cell, you got to clip him. Joe, call us back. If there's an open line, I promise we'll put you up as soon as we can, but that's just not – we can't have that conversation. Make it happen, Joe. Call us back. 855-212-4227. Mike is in California. Mike is on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Mike?
Hey, not much. You guys are like my favorite show on the radio.
Appreciate you, Mike.
Mike.
Hey, no, this isn't talked about too much. I like Paul Pierce's argument. Basketball is the best argument to have, especially with the top 10. But let's just say you go Michael Jordan and Larry Bird. After that, this isn't talked about much. You've got like six Lakers in a row. I mean, you've got Wilt, Kareem, and Shaq. And then you got Kobe and Magic. How about Jerry West up the bench?
LG. Yeah.
And then let me say one thing LG. About LeBron.
Yeah.
Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but come on, Mike.
You mean the early part of it?
come on.
There's some bias. I hear what you're saying, Mike, with the Eastern Conference. We always talk about this. It's just more available to media members and to people. And if you're watching games, if you're East Coast watching West Coast, it's late, dude.
No, I think he was saying that it's weaker. That's what I thought he meant.
No, maybe, but I'm talking about why. Maybe he's talking about elevating LeBron, or is he talking about the Eastern Conference just being weaker?
That's
general?
What I thought he meant.
Yeah,
because Kobe wasn't obscured.
But still, I mean, LeBron did go to some finals and lose, you know what I mean? So it's not like he had an easy route because he was in the Eastern Conference. And I think basketball is one of the few sports, baseball is also there, where you're gonna get the best team that wins, in whether it's the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, you know what I mean? And so I hear what he's saying, but The only Eastern Conference bias I would say would be because of, we see them. And so we elevate LeBron because he spent so much of his time on the East Coast around more national media markets, mm-hmm. even though L.A. is a huge one.
You know, I wanted to get back to something you said before, and I kind of know the answer. And I get it, you know, to talk about players and to so definitively slot them when we never saw them play a second or, mm-hmm. or take a shot or yep. swing a bat is almost foolish when you really yep. think about it. I mean, think about it. It's like, you know, propping up a book. You never read the book.
That's right. I mean, that's exactly right. That's a perfect analogy, BT. It, oh, it's the greatest book that's ever been written. Did you ever read War and Peace? You know what I mean?
No. I'll tell you, what an inspiring poem. What's it about? I don't know. I never read it. But I just heard it was pretty good.
But everybody says it is.
Exactly. But the and I know that the like the evolution of the basketball player versus the evolution of the baseball player mm-hmm. is vastly different. It was always below the rim, except for a few, not even Skywalkers, just big men. But baseball, even during its inception or at its inception, there were a handful of players, Babe Ruth, of course, and others, that, you know, flash power that would have translated today.
Yeah.
But I never hesitate when people say, you know, hey, you know, name your top five, whatever the number is, top 10 players of all time, baseball. It's always an acknowledgement of Babe Ruth, no order mm-hmm. now. Willie Mays always gets on that list. Ted Williams, the greatest hitter of all time. So why would I be so quick to incorporate those players who I never saw?
Yeah.
But now also put forth the stipulation, well, I can't really do that in basketball because I didn't see Will Chamberlain
well,
play.
I think because
it's still a deduction.
It is, but also, let's not forget, BT, basketball doesn't necessarily translate over eras, right? Whereas baseball does. Like, the field dimensions are the same, not that they're not different in basketball, but like the athlete relative to the field dimension is the same in basketball, whereas in baseball, whereas in basketball, it's not necessarily that the case, right? Think about, you know, Wilt playing against 6'4" centers, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the athleticism that's evolved in basketball these days where, you know, a 7-footer, KD, can play around the perimeter 90% of the time if you wanted to and still be highly effective. Like,
yeah.
the dimensions haven't evolved relative to the players in baseball. They have evolved significantly in basketball. And so I think you can carry over the eras in baseball more easier, at least in your mind, than you can in basketball. Basketball, it's just, like, I can't even imagine some of the, you know, the greats of the 60s and 70s, you know, even getting on the court nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, if they were playing now, they would have the same type of training and, you know, lifting regimens and everything else. But
but playing with the style that they play.
Yeah, that's
with.
Right. Yeah, right. No, just like literally transporting them onto the same court. Like, yeah. I can't see it, man.
Yo, and you could probably take, you know, Walter Johnson or Cy Young. Or,
that's right.
You know, one of
that's
these
right.
turn of the century pitchers.
That's exactly right.
And he's still throwing 90 something. I know what you mean.
Put him on the mound right now. He's still, you know, winning 19 games, 20 mm-hmm. games.
And at least has stuff that is, you know,
yep.
representative of the league average. You know, it might not be as good, to be fair, because the evolution of different pitches and, mm-hmm. and different grips and different movement, et cetera. But point taken, and I assume that that's it. But, yeah, okay, good stuff. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Coming up next, though, we all think Tua landed in a pretty good spot, right, with the Dolphins, a veteran backup, who's pretty good but understands his role. But wait, so you hear what Fitzmagic had to say.
We'll get into that.
That's going to be good. Inbounds, Out of Bounds after Ack, who hits you with the update right now. Here's Rich Ackerman.
All right, get to Inbounds, Out of Bounds here in a moment on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. First, though, time to ask the pros, give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty basic stuff. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around, listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. So challenge us, and we'll read it on the air, give you some props, and we'll go from there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, to my knowledge, I don't think I've ever heard another prominent player. And again, before we get to Inbounds, Out of Bounds, keep in mind, Paul Pierce is up for the Hall of Fame in 2021.
Yeah.
And he's going to get in. I think he's going to be a first ballot guy. I think he should be. You know, I'm not talking about, like, you know, the ninth guy on some obscure team that nobody cares about in NBA history. For a future Hall of Famer to take this position against LeBron, is unprecedented. Do I want to use that word?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's an analyst, and so he's paid to give his opinions and create discussions, so maybe that's part of it, but I don't know if it matters, so to say, if he feels that way, because it's all based on opinion, right? It's how you feel about certain players that played at certain times and what they meant to their organizations and to the basketball community at large. So I think you're probably right. I think for most people, it just kind of feels natural to say, oh yeah, LeBron's right there. I mean, hell, he's in competition to be with the best ever with Jordan, you know, given his athletic ability and what he's done both as a scorer and a facilitator and a champion and multiple different places. So yeah, but I think you might be right. Nobody says it like this. But it creates a conversation, that's for sure.
Yeah. By the way, the Paul Pierce comments that we used before, pretty good stuff. We appreciate that. That was on the NBA Countdown YouTube show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Maria, who's done a nice job, she took over that role somewhat recent. She's fitted nicely. Paul, Jalen, and Jay. All right, T, you ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds? See what we got?
I am. Let's go.
Okay.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, let's talk a little Dolphins, a little Tua by extension. As we know, Tua Tagovailoa went fifth overall in the draft here. And current starter Ryan Fitzpatrick helped the team to a surprising 5-win season. And obviously, you know, gained a lot of equity in the locker room. Guys like playing with him. He's tough. He puts his pads down. He makes plays somehow, despite looking like a guy who doesn't physically belong out there most of the time. But now Fitzmagic is expected to mentor and groom Tua. And the 15-year vet out of Harvard discussed his role on Eric Wood's What's Next podcast.
I'm really excited. I'm excited that they drafted him. Like, I'm excited because in watching him play at Alabama, like, he looks like he's a pretty dynamic talent. Just in meeting him a few times, like, he seems like an unbelievable kid, great head on his shoulders, like, says the right things, wants to do the right things. So, like, for me, I'm his biggest cheerleader right now, but I also want to be out there playing. You know, I also want to be on the field, and that's kind of why I'm still doing it, because I still enjoy playing the game. So hopefully some of the lessons I'm able to teach him are him watching me play, but if it's the other way around, you know, I'm going to do my best to help him succeed in the best way that he can.
It's a perfect answer. As we know, Joe Burrow is going to likely start right away with Justin Herbert and Jordan Love sitting behind starters who are hesitant to relinquish their roles and their spots. In or out, Tua is in the best position to find long-term success than his other 2020 rookie quarterbacks.
I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT. One, because of having Fitzmagic in front of him. But two, Chan Gailey is his new offensive coordinator. Jim Caldwell is there as well, who's had a lot of success. So there's an old school veteran presence around Tua that's going to help him learn a lot. And then you compare it to the other situations. Justin Herbert, who's also has a vet in front of him, and Tyrod Taylor, but it's a different kind of vet. They fired Ken Whisenhunt at the end of the season. This is the Chargers. And they have a brand new rookie offensive coordinator that could he's learning on the job, and I think it's going to be a little bit tough for them. Joe Burrow, the team was really bad. Now they've improved, but you know, Zach Taylor still got to prove himself, and Brian Caldwell is only in his second year or third year in a major position as a quarterback coach or coordinator. And he's their coordinator. And then LaFleur and Hackett, we know how that is out in Green Bay. I mean, Aaron Rodgers said all the right things, but I'm not sure it's going to be right for Jordan Love. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think this is inbounds. Tua's in a really good situation with Fitz and that staff down there.
I agree. Easy inbounds for me. Ascending franchise. Amenable starter in terms of, you know, doing the right thing. Amenable to doing the right thing, I should say. Of course, Fitzpatrick wants to play. He's a fierce competitor. And the last thing he said was, you know, if it's the other way around, I'll do the right thing. And I believe him. Some people you believe, some you don't. I think we all believe Fitzpatrick when he says that. And here's the other thing, too. And think about what some of the quarterbacks from the last couple of years have gone through. Darnold, second year, new coach. Baker, new coach, second year. You know, well, I don't really care what happens with Miami this year. I am a huge Flores believer.
I agree.
So Flores will be back. So they'll be, even if they
underachieve, whatever their level of underachievement would be perceived to be. So no matter what, as Tua comes back for year two, it's going to be the same head coach, the same message, and the same system. Mm-hmm. That's advantageous. Anthony Lynn, let's face it. I mean, there's been whispers a little bit now, and I think he's a fine coach, but if they were to bomb this year, I don't think it's a guarantee he comes back. I don't think it's a guarantee, nor should it be, that Zach Taylor comes back if the Bengals scuffle and they don't show any sort of progress or hope. So those quarterbacks could be going into year two with new systems and new voices. I'm with you. Easy. Inbounds. Good spot for Tua.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. New Broncos running back Melvin Gordon switched AFC West teams this offseason after spending his first 5 years with the Chargers. Now, the former 15th overall pick out of Wisconsin played in all 16 games just once in his career, which coincided with his only 1,000-yard rushing season. Yesterday, Gordon told Ian Rappaport's Rap Sheet and Friends podcast that the Broncos system is better suited for him.
I really didn't play out to my strength, especially the first couple years there. I kind of just had to adjust and make work. You know, it kind of wasn't a system built for me. But, you know, I feel like, you know, Denver kind of runs my style of football. And I think it's a great fit.
Okay, there you go. Melvin Gordon can still be, if you consider him a top 10, yep, can still be a top 10 running back in the NFL.
He could, but I'm going to say out of bounds because it's just he's not going to get the opportunities there. So it's out of bounds to me. Phillip Lindsay is such a dynamic player for the Denver Broncos. They love him up there. Running back situations get divided in so many places. There's only a handful that it's not the case.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say out of bounds. Not that I don't like Melvin Gordon as a player, mm-hmm, but he's just not going to get 350 carries this year. So he's never going to crack the top 10.
You know, Lindsay did not play as well as they thought he would last year, coming back off the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's not going to get a chance to get the ball a little bit this year, but your point's taken. It could cut into Melvin's production. You know, the truth of the matter is, like, you know, I'm going to say out of bounds, too. I don't think he can be at this point. I agree. If you just were dumped into the football world and you said, oh, let me see, who's this guy? Let me look up his stats. Not that stats are everything, yeah, but let me look up his stats. All right, going into year number six, he's had, man, he's had one 1,000-yard season. Okay. He's never been particularly prolific catching the football.
Nope.
You know, his first year, he didn't score a single touchdown despite starting 13 games. Really, he's not a top 10 now.
Yeah.
He's just not. So that's another pretty easy one. I'm going to say out of bounds. He's not a top 10.
Are you in or are you out?
Not saying he can't help you out a little bit, but he's not top 10. Before the shutdown, the Jazz sat fourth in the West behind the Lakers, Clippers, and Nuggets. Now, Bogdanovich, a little bit of bad news. I don't think we mentioned this yesterday, but this was mm-hmm. from yesterday news, actually. They got some bad news. Their second leading scorer, somebody who could stretch it, Bogdanovich here, will have wrist surgery. He'll miss the rest of the season. So, if it ever even starts back up, he's 31. He's not a kid. He's been around for a little bit. Good player. He's averaging 20 points a game after signing a 4-year, $70-plus million deal last summer. Here's the question, Tiki. In or out, the Jazz were title contenders with a trio of Mitchell, Gobert, and Bogdanovich. In or out?
I'm going to say out of bounds of that, BT, and it's really nothing to do with their skills or how they've developed over the last couple of years, but the Lakers were playing dominant basketball, and the Clippers hadn't even gotten close to their full potential yet, so I don't know if they're getting out of the West this season. Now, next year, or maybe, you know, depending on what happens with age and everything else with the Lakers and chemistry with the Clippers, even though I doubt that's going to change much. But next year, potentially. This year, I'm going to say out of bounds.
I see it the exact opposite. You know, I'm reacting to the circumstances of this year. My answer is inbounds. I would have given them a shot, and if they do come back, I will give them a shot. You know, provided Mitchell's recovered fully, and I mean, I'm sure he is, from COVID-19, mm-hmm. and Gobert, you know, if Bogdanovich was there, I would have given them a real shot. Because think about this. Young legs went out. Now, Bogdanovich's wheels aren't particularly young. As I said before, he's 31. Yeah. But, you know, the inactivity, the rust, this is the uncharted territory. So nobody really knows what's going to win out this return when they return to the court. I was going to say, you know, this June, but who knows? It's probably going to be way past then.
Yeah.
You know, Donovan Mitchell, when he's on, is electric. And Gobert is bouncy, and he's been around for a little bit, but he's still relatively young. Covers a lot of space. He's quick-footed for a 7-foot-1 player. So because I don't know what to expect from the other teams, sometimes, you know, the youthfulness, that exuberance could win out in a rare situation. Now, next year, no. Golden State's back. You know, Dallas Mavericks, they bring one guy in with Doncic and KP and their head coach, Rick Carlisle. That changes everything. Who knows what the Thunder do if they add an interesting piece or whatever they, you know, continue to add to that. I like Denver, and I always have. I think Denver's right there. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. I do. I believe they're right next to, like, a tick behind the Lakers and a tick behind the Clippers. And in a seven-game series, a tick, it could go the other way. This year, I would have said yes. Next year, I say no.
Are you in or are you out?
Unless, of course, they go out and they do something incredibly unexpected this year, and they add to their core. All right, Alex Bregman had a big-time 2019 season. As we know, he was second in the MVP voting. He bombed 41 jacks at 112 RBIs here, Teague, but was also embroiled in the Astros sign-stealing scandal. Now, John Heyman reports that Bregman is leaving his agency, which is Clutch Sports. All right, and he learned about LeBron's... Well, first of all, I should tell you that Clutch Sports is founded by LeBron and his buddy, his close friend, Rich Paul. So after learning that LeBron's media company, which is Uninterrupted, is producing a documentary about the scandal. So Bregman's probably sitting there saying, what's going on? I'm part of the family, and you guys are putting this out against somebody who's in the family? So Clutch Sports allowing their main client to produce a documentary ripping another client is inbounds or out of bounds?
I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT, because what the hell could Clutch Sports say? LeBron James wants to produce a documentary. He's going to produce a documentary. And we also don't know how negative it's going to be. It could be complimentary of the Astros. I mean, who knows? We don't know.
That's the worst. Then LeBron, stick to basketball.
I think it's going to show every side of it. And if it's, as long as it's fair, I think that Alex Bregman can't really say anything because he knows what he did. Right? They all know what they did. And the only thing you can ask for at this point is fairness. And that's what you hope LeBron does, producing this doc.
Well, yeah, I hope he's fair, too. And I hope he exposes the Astros for the cheats and the frauds that they are. That's the fair way to do it. If not, he failed miserably putting this documentary together. He'll do the right thing. To answer the question, I think it's inbounds. What this tells me is that, you know, the baseball player just doesn't have the kind of juice that an NFL or an NBA player might have. If it was somebody from another sport, somebody else in the NBA of prominence or somebody in the NFL of prominence, they would have had more say, more influence. And this probably, it may have gone from, you know, a concept that was born. I don't know that it comes to fruition. Yeah, I really don't know. I think it may have been left on the cutting room floor in particular. But it's also not just about Alex Bregman. It's about the entire team. So he's a spoke in the wheel. Granted, an important one, a big one, a visible one, a prominent one. But it's about the Astros. It's not like it's, you know, the Alex Bregman scandal. Altuve's in there, and the GM, Lunau, and you know, Hinch, and everybody else. So I'm going to say inbounds. Business is business until it's not. And this seems like relatively fair business. I'm okay with that.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, T, coming up next here, this will be fun. We are entering, and probably a little bit ago, but we've entered this new phase of quarterbacks, new landscape here. Comparing the new generation of talents with some of the old heads and what we project the future to look like. We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.